This is the Hollywood Outsider, and welcome to a special episode of our show where we are talking about the latest steroid-induced opus, The Expendables 3. That's right, the third one. We'll also be talking about the series as a whole, old-fashioned action flicks, and these action icons in the movie. Don't worry, if you thought you were downloading the latest normal episode of the Hollywood Outsider, it is still there. Just go back and download it. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you, whatever your podcast app is, and you will find the episodes there. And please share those episodes on whatever social media you use. My name is Aaron Peterson, and for those that have not seen it but still want to listen to the spoiler cast anyway, The Expendables 3 reunites the old gang from the previous films, Barney Ross, played by Sylvester Stallone, Lee Christmas, played by Jason Statham, and then you've got the rest of the crew, Terry Crews, Randy Couture, Dolph Lundgren, Jet Li, reunites them with everybody in the or most of the people that live from the previous films, as well as brings in superstars like Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously, Wesley Snipes, Antonio Banderas. And the story is Conrad Stonebanks, who is played by Mel Gibson, is a vicious, vicious killer and also part of the original Expendables, the OGs, so to speak. Once Barney Ross finds out that Conrad Stonebanks is still alive, he sets out on a mission to kill him by recruiting some of the some younger Expendables, and because he doesn't want to risk the lives of his men. It ends up being an all-out assault, and by the end of the movie, everybody's working together. Old kids got to save the young kids, and the young kids got to help the old kids. So we've got just one giant man assault on the senses by the end of Expendables 3. If you have not seen The Expendables 3 and you want to remain spoiler-free, now would be a good time to listen to a previous episode from here on out because spoilers are allowed. You ready? All right. Joining me for this latest ride down this cinematic nostalgia roller coaster that we've known as The Expendables is none other than Brian Williams. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? It's kind of empty in this room, ain't it?
It is. It's a little thin. Justin and Scott both could not be here for this episode. We had a pretty specific testosterone requirement, and even if you meshed those two together, it wasn't enough.
No. It just wasn't enough. No. Not even close.
Not even close, no. I mean, they went out and grabbed a few more guys and tried to be manly enough, and they just couldn't do it. Do you think this this whole franchise is really too much manly for 2 hours?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all. Nah.
Just the right amount of sweat.
Sweat, guns, a little bit of blood, lots of explosions. I don't think it's too much.
Excellent. So what do you think, before we really talk about the series, are you a fan of The Expendables as a whole, the idea when it first came out? Were you pumped for it, or was it something you had to be won over for? I know it's not in the format. I'm just asking.
My like of this has kind of evolved a little bit. With the first one, it was all about the nostalgia of these actors, and just the possibility of seeing them all together is what drew me to the first one. Having loved the first one, and the story was actually, I mean, granted, there's not much of a story.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
Pretty much all it is.
Which part did you see the story?
But
I don't remember
that. Very thin thread that ties it from one scene to the other, from one action scene to the other, was good enough for me to get connected with some of these characters and enjoy them. And then with the second one, you got to see some of the peripheral characters like Dolph Lundgren and Terry Crews and some of these others. And you grow to like them more. So then by the time 3 rolls around, I'm excited to see all of these guys and to see how they do with the newer characters.
Well, the first thing that we want to talk about is let's establish right off the bat, what did you think of Expendables 3? If this does end up being the last movie in the series, they're talking about 4, and we'll talk about the potential for 4 later. But if this ends up being, there's no more, did this movie send you away with a smile? Are you happy with it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a good wrap up. If it's going to be a wrap up. I mean, just like I say, just under the pretense that this is the last one, that it does end in a trilogy. It was a good way. It was a fun way to go out. It was a fun ride. The whole movie was just a fun ride. I did have a couple of issues with it, We'll talk about that later. But overall, this was just, it was so much fun. Lots of witty little digs towards actors in this movie.
Now, the movie's, it struggled a little bit domestically. I think it's going to open like 17 or 18 million for the weekend domestically. What's that?
Little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It struggled. Do you think, before we get into the actual movie, do you think, you know, because this was famously released through the internet via illegal downloads, and I guess was downloaded like 5 million times, which if each ticket's like 10 bucks, man, that's like $50 million. Do you think that affected box office?
I think it was a contributing factor. I don't know if it was the reason, but I think it was probably... Honestly, I think it's a little bit about 50-50, with that being one issue and fatigue being another issue.
You think people are just, all right, the joke is worn thin?
Yeah, the nostalgia, like how many people are you going to bring back from the past to do little cameos in this? And, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of starting to feel that maybe we're going to the well one too many times with this. So, but you factor in that with the big time, maybe fan, because if you're downloading bootleg copies, you're obviously a fan.
Mm-hmm. Or you have an internet connection.
Or at least curious enough to where you want to see it, but you're not sure if you want to spend the 10 bucks to go see it. So you just download it and watch it that way. So you're right. That $40, $50 million right there. And that hurts, especially when you open up at less than $20 million.
Yeah, that stings. Because the other ones they opened, I think, $34 million and $28 million. That's a big difference. I think it's like 40% less than the last movie. That's too bad, man. I thought it was fun. Absolutely fun.
Absolutely. It's going to go, it's one of those movies, what it kind of like John Carter in a way, that is so much fun and is really a good movie, but it's not going to have the monetary backing that you would think a good movie would have. So mm-hmm. it's one of those, it just doesn't do well monetarily speaking.
And you know what I think? I was watching, cause I rewatched, don't ask me why. It's not like The Hobbit or something. I didn't really have to go back and rewatch the first two. Really didn't matter.
Right.
But I'm going to rewatch the first two and then I'll watch the third one. And I did. And I still like those movies, but I got to tell you, it feels like this is the one where they finally Stallone figured out exactly how to do it right. Now, maybe he had assistance, and the first two times it was a little too much him because he was pretty much the sole writer. And this time he had a little bit of help. But it felt like, all right, now I found the right tone. Like, it felt like in the first movie he was kind of struggling to find that tone, you know, for mm-hmm. how to tell this movie. It was more about, we got all these big actors in a room and we're just going to blow shit up. And then in the second one, it got a lot cooler. I really liked the second one a lot. I liked it a lot better than the first one. And then the third one, it felt like now we found the tone. We've got a good sense of humor about it. We've got a good sense of fun. We've got a good sense of all these guys are here. We know how to make the action. It just felt like a more well-rounded movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, could not agree more. Could not agree more. This, like you say, finally felt like they got it right.
Yeah, and we make no apologies. I critics or people that are sitting there, I'm sure you're probably the same people that bash on Michael Bay. I don't particularly care if you don't agree with it. It's a franchise that you know if you like it or you know if you don't, and by now. And if you don't, why are you sitting there just being angry at the radio, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you listening to this?
Yeah. It's definitely a franchise that is for – see, I don't think it's for just people that grew up on 80s action flicks. I actually think – this movie has done a good job of being for more than just those people. Mm-hmm. Definitely think the first movie, like if you didn't grow up on any 80s action, I don't think you probably would have liked the first movie. Second movie I thought was a little bit more well-rounded. This one seems like it could be for anybody. And that's just how I see the franchise. I see it as it evolved well, where most franchises go the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This movie is not, if you didn't like the first one or the second one, this one's not going to change your mind. It's pretty much the first one and second one just ramped up a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm like a fan with a whole bunch of people in this movie. You know, I was sitting on the plane the other day, on the helicopter, this helicopter scene, and I look to my right, and here's Arnold Schwarzenegger. I look over my shoulder, Antonio Banderas. I'm looking down over here, I see Sylvester Stallone and Jason, and I mean, my man from Twilight is here. I'm like, wow, you know, I could spend at least 2 weeks and never leave the house and watch all of their movies. Harrison Ford is on my left shoulder over here. These are all, many of them, my childhood and early adult heroes.
But speaking of this one, I mean, we did introduce or bring in some past action heroes, and one of them recently got out of jail, out of prison.
He sure did. Harrison Ford?
Yeah. Ronda Rousey? No, just no. But Wesley Snipes. What'd you think about his role in this as Dr. Death? Was this a good enough vehicle to maybe introduce him back into the movie place?
I think it was great. His opening, obviously, if you've seen the movie, then you know, but just in case you haven't seen it, his entire opening is a train chase where they break him out of a train prison, basically. And you find out exactly just how crazy he is and how far gone he is. And Wesley Snipes is just a fun guy to watch. He's great in everything he does, honestly. He's long been stuck in the Steven Seagal DVD hell. When he was acting, he was doing a bunch of, you know, Gallo Walkers and crap like that. He's a good actor. He's always been a good actor. It's good to see him have fun again. It reminded me a lot of Demolition Man. That's how his character reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah, it's same here. This is the first thing that in a long time that I've seen him in. Granted, he's, again, been in prison for a while, so.
He's been busy.
Yeah, he's been a little tied up.
Do you think do you think he's, do you think when he goes to jail, like, people want to punk him just because he's Blade? I would love to hear that story.
I would be curious as to, I don't think so. I think enough of those people in prison probably, one, they know that he's good with martial arts and stuff. So he's he's not only built, but he can use his muscles and in a very painful way. So I don't think so. And plus, I think he's got enough respect from the action movie type genres that he's probably, you got probably a lot more people, you know, coming up to him just wanting to be friends with him than trying to make him bite a pillow or something.
So what about you? Did this work for you? Are you glad they used this to bring him back? Or
absolutely. I think this is a fantastic way to kind of ease him back into the movies. He was instantly likable. All of us. I mean, that train scene reminded me, this is the Wesley Snipes that I love.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And good Lord, when he had that afro and beard and just he with them crazy eyes. Oh, and he's just kicking ass all up and down that train. It was just like, that's the guy I've missed.
Yeah, I really missed him. I really did.
I don't know if I'm quite ready to see him star in a movie, but I'm pretty close.
He made the joke about tax evasion, and I think everybody kind of saw that coming. And it was probably the one joke where I'm like, I wish they wouldn't have.
Well,
because it's a little too close to home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I was fine with it. I liked it personally, and it was a predictable joke. Speaking of jokes, really, the only one I really had an issue was Stallone or Schwarzenegger going get to the chopper.
Oh God, was it awful!
And he did it once later, but he did it earlier, kind of half-assed, and was like, was that supposed to, you know, you kind of sat there and turn your head sideways and go, what? Yeah, was that supposed to be? You know, and then a little bit later, he actually says the line, and I'm like, well, which one was the joke?
which one were you trying to be funny with?
Because, you know, I interpreted the first time as a nod to that line, and then the second one, you actually say it. So I'm confused.
See, the first time, I was like, all right, I can appreciate that because it wasn't so on the nose. You know, it was like, we need to get to the chopper. Ah, get it? Ah, because people make fun of him. And then he just flat out says it. And that's where I went, no, stop it. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's just remove that from the movie completely. Let's just take it out. I don't need it. Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing where you can tell that's Stallone's script. Because yeah. I think he misjudges that sometimes where, you know, that was funny in the first movie. That joke is done. So instead of, like, revisiting that well, you know, he's already done that. I'll be back and all that stuff. You've already done that. Let that stuff go. Instead, just show these guys that they can still look like they're kicking ass.
Yep.
That's where you need to be. Now, what about old Mel Gibson? Now, this poor guy, well, I'm sorry. Don't write the letters. Not a poor guy. Obviously, he's got some issues.
He's brought a lot of stuff on himself.
He has. I don't know how much is media and how much is he dated some crazy woman. That can affect you too, you know, even Ooh. If you can. He's a, you're like, oh no, don't step on that. Don't step on that mine.
Yeah. let's just come back to the format here before yeah. I get off on a tangent.
he's had some issues. Whatever his issues are, he's still a great actor. Always has been, in my opinion. I am not going to take away the Lethal Weapons, the Bravehearts, and all that stuff just because of his personal issues. He's always been a good actor. Now, do you think this was a good... Because he did come back, what, last year in Machete Kills, which was not a good form for him.
And he was also in El Gringo or something like that.
Yeah, which I know. Yeah.
I didn't see, but...
I did see I that. That was actually not a bad movie. Not a bad movie. Okay. What did you think about Mad Max taking it back to the Expendables?
I really liked him as a villain. I thought he was very intense. He still has some pretty good physicality about him to where he's, you know, he can pull off some fight scenes. He's always got them great crazy eyes, and he does that stare where he kind of cocks his head a little bit and you just, oh, you know, he just looks nutty.
Mm-hmm. Turns out that's not so much acting.
Maybe he's not so much acting. I don't know. So... But between that and him pulling off the billionaire arms dealer role, which I thought was a good role for him, mm-hmm. much like Snipes, I think this is another good kind of reintroduction to getting people used to seeing Mel Gibson on the big screen.
Yeah, and it's really hard because I don't feel bad for the guy because I know he's brought a lot of it on himself. And, you know, whatever his issues are, you know, everybody struggles with something. I don't know what they are. I just know he's always been a good, fun actor to watch. And it was nice to see him play a villain. You know, Machete Kills, mm-hmm. I wouldn't really call that a villain. I call it more, it was more camp than anything. I mean, he's a real sadistic bastard in this movie. And I don't know if the public's hatred of him is gonna fuel that, make it even better. But I think he was a great villain. Like his speech in the van where he's just going after Stallone and everybody else, I thought that was a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great scene. I was so glad to see him back.
It was neat to see. It was just kind of neat to see him in this villain role. And I guess people can kind of channel that hatred of him that they have towards hating the character, which makes them feel better, which makes them like him more, which hopefully lends him to getting more jobs down the road. So it's weird. I know it's a weird logic there. Trust me. I realize how crazy and twisted that logic is.
Yeah, it's pretty
But twisted. I want him back. He's up there. I mean, he's up there with the Tom Cruises, the George Clooney's. He is a
movie star.
He is a movie star. He is one of those people that has that, and I'm going to steal your word here, mm-hmm. charisma that just draws you in. And I want that back. Whatever his personal demons and preferences and biases are, I can compartmentalize all that outside the theater.
Do you think he can get it back?
It's going to be tough, and he's going to have to do some Oprah interviews. There's going to be a lot of media ass kissing for him to get back in the group. But he can do it. That his problem is he didn't just mess up once. He messed up like a half a dozen times in a row mm-hmm. and never showed any remorse about it.
Yeah.
That's his problem.
He'll go to some clinic and for, I don't know. I don't know what kind of clinics treat that, but that's what he'll be doing.
The one thing Americans love more than hating on somebody is a comeback. And you cry on TV a couple of times, do a couple charity events, get back in the, you know, get back doing something nice. You make a decent movie. All of a sudden you're back. Now you're making the big bucks again.
There you go. We'll find out. We'll see if Brian's theory holds true, if he's a fortune teller.
But we did, like I said, we did bring it in a lot of old people there, but there was a lot of focus on the new blood. That was a big part of the plot here. Bringing in the Ronda Rouseys, the Tito Ortiz, the Kellen Lutz.
Yeah. But because when I think action badass powerhouse, I think Kellen Lutz.
I think vampire.
Yep.
Although I
he did will fine.
Give him a credit. This is probably the best thing that I've liked him in.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree.
Did your kind of older favorites get enough screen time for you? Because looked like they were kind of, I don't want to say cut out of it, but their screen time is definitely diminished from the last one.
If I had one complaint, that would be it. And, you know, that whole middle section. And don't get me wrong, I think it was nice to kind of have a younger crew do like a Mission Impossible style attack as opposed to guns blazing. I thought that
was so 1985.
Yeah, exactly. I love when they make the joke and he's just like, you just want to go in and just blow shit up or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you got a better plan? Yeah, we got a great plan, which actually was a better plan.
Was a great plan.
I thought that was very good. Nice touch. But I did feel like the people I came to see got shortchanged. And I was especially bummed about Terry Crews. I love Terry Crews.
Yeah, the one for me, if I felt like anybody was... I love Gunner, played by Dolph Lundgren.
Really? That's your pick? If you had to pick your favorite, that'd be Gunner, huh?
Well, he's been... I like him. As far as... well, in this movie, I mean, in just the series, he's one of my favorites.
Okay.
So, I mean, I love his smart guy, but he probably says the wrong things a lot. You know, he maybe not quite picks up on things, maybe. Mm-hmm. So
he's not smart.
Like book smart, but maybe not, you know, street smarter or I don't know. Socially speaking, maybe he's not so smart. I don't know. But anyway, I like him. He's got there's a likability about him that I dig. And him and Randy Couture kind of playing off each other it was in there, but it wasn't in there very much. But if I had to be upset about one of them being cut out more, it would be Dolph Lundgren.
Okay. Did you like the new blood, the new guys? Ooh, you're hesitating.
They grew on me. I don't understand why we got to have a lot of MMA fighters and stuff in this, but you know, but there was one that didn't quite fit for me. I kind of grew on most of them, except for the one guy, Thorin or whatever they kept calling him.
Oh, Glenn Powell, I think is his name. Yeah. What did he bring? That? I have no idea. I'm sure he's relevant and even double checking, Brian, I don't see anything that the guy, he's just an actor. I mean, not to take away from him. I'm sure he's a hero in his own right, but he's really just an actor.
Yeah. I mean, he's done a little bit of TV stuff. He's got a small, you know, small part in The Dark Knight Rises, but just, nothing real. Respectively, nothing real special about him.
I'm sure he's special. Everybody's special. Everybody. That was the one thing that bummed me out is you spent all this time bringing back Wesley frickin' Snipes and you got Jason Statham and Jet Li. What do you have? Like four? I think he had four lines in the entire movie. Four lines Jet Li had.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't really need to see Jet Li talk, but I'd like to see him kick somebody's ass at some point. You know, you've got Harrison Ford. You've got all these heroes and you're shortchanging them for these young kids that really nobody going to see this movie cares a whole lot about. I think, you know, they're obviously doing it to bring in younger audiences. I don't know if that really worked.
Yeah, that Glenn Powell guy really didn't do a whole lot for me. But I did kind of grow, you know, the others kind of grew on me a little bit.
This one, I think we got the tone just right. It has the humor in it. It's not as wink, wink, it's retro 1980. It's not. It's happening right now. When we bring in the young people, it keeps it fresh. Also, the story is more, identifiable in a sense. We've all been betrayed by somebody, and I think at the very end, that kind of resolve and that kind of feeling, we've seen this before. It's just a classic theme, and we have better actors. I mean, really, you know, you got Harrison Ford in there, you got Wesley Snipes in there, Antonio Banderas is incredible, Kelsey Grammer's amazing. I mean, it just keeps going on and on.
Yeah, we do have some MMA fighters kind of mixed into the cast here. You know, do you think Sly is kind of grasping at straws for, I mean, there's only that well is only so deep for popular action heroes, and it's just about empty at this point. So do you think he's kind of grasping, or is it just a marketing ploy to, like you say, to kind of draw in the younger crowd?
I think he was just trying to make, you know, one huge movie with like as many action stars as he could. And I get that. I just think he overstuffed a little bit. Don't get me wrong. They did a great job of making it work, though. I mean, it felt to me like every single one of them, which is probably the most impressive thing about Expendables 3. It felt to me like every single one of them got a hero moment. You know,
right.
They each got, you know, and you're talking like, what, 45 freaking people at some point.
And they all felt relevant at some point.
Yeah, they all felt, everybody felt relevant at some point. And I was pretty impressed. The best thing I think the series does is if they cast a well-known actor, you don't really have to do a lot to build a character because people already have it in their mind who that person is. So it's easier to identify with them. With a younger cast, not so much. And I think by casting a couple MMA fighters, that definitely helps. But yeah, I think he's just trying too hard. You don't need to do it, Sly. You don't need to do it. Speaking of MMA fighters, for the movie Deathmatch, we got Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano. Who's the better MMA actress, you think?
Well, let's see here. Now, we've only seen Rousey in one movie, and in fairness, much like Gina Carano's movie, she really doesn't have a ton of lines, but she does deliver them a lot better than Carano. My money would be on Rousey. I like looking at Carano a lot better, but Rousey, I felt, was a little bit better actress, especially watching Carano in that last Fast and Furious movie. Mm-hmm. She was atrocious, just horrible.
No, come on, let's be fair. She was just really bad.
Okay. She was
atrocious.
Very bad.
I don't know if she was atrocious. She was just really bad.
Oh, who do you think would win? Or who's the better actress?
Well, who do I think would win in a fight, or who do I think is the better actress?
Nah, the better actress.
Is
because we're talking about movie stuff here, not an actual fight. But
Ronda Rousey, actually, I thought, did a good job. I would actually watch her in her own movie. I thought she did a very good job. Gina Carano, for some reason, like, I thought she was good in Haywire. I don't know if it's because Steven Soderbergh was there and he just, you know, showed her what acting was or whatever, but she has steadily gotten worse ever since then. And
yeah.
She's, as much as I would much rather watch her, I have no interest in hearing her speak in film. She can speak in my house. That would be great. But in film, I don't want her to talk. She's a great silent weapon. Great silent weapon. She's just not a good actress. No, Ronda Rousey, definitely. And actually, she seems, I saw her in a couple of interviews, and she seems like a pretty fun person, too. Pretty down to earth and low key.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we know that story doesn't matter a whole lot in these movies.
What?
So
story is very important.
It is. You got to get from point A to point B somehow. But what'd you, yeah, these are built around action. And what'd you think about that?
I think they finally got the action scenes nailed. You know, I don't know if they just had a bigger budget this time, but I think the director did a really good job. Patrick Hughes, he did a movie called Red Hill, which I recommend everybody goes and check out. But he's obviously a great action director. I think his action scenes are fantastic. The last, it's probably like 40 minutes of the movie, right? It's like the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That last 40 minutes is some of the best action, practical effect action scenes I have seen in probably a couple of years. Just fantastically done. I thought it was wonderful. It moved seamlessly. The only scene I probably thought was a little shortchanged was the Mel Gibson Stallone fisticuff scene.
Yeah.
But what about you? Did Do you think it lived up to the previous ones, surpassed it? What?
Oh, I think it blew it away. This, there was, I mean, even from the train scene to the car chase through Mogadishu with the flatbed truck and the boat jumping the ramp and landing on the back. I mean, there's a whole lot of, suspension of belief here. I realize that.
It's beyond suspension of disbelief.
The motorcycle jump up like six stories to just, land on some rebar and drop in.
And get a perfect shot. Perfect shot. Yeah.
So, right. But you know that going into these movies, and that's what makes these great. So, but there was just tons of imagination in this with it. Like I say, all the scene in the building where they're having to run down. All right, we're going to make our way down. Nope. Now we got to make our way up to the top. And just this whole thing, they're fighting off this army. There's tanks. It was just madness.
Madness. What did you think about that end battle? Because you've got the whole movie. We only got one villain. Where I thought in the previous movies, it seemed like the main heroes each had their own guy to dispatch. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then this one, really, there's Mel Gibson and then an entire army. And the best thing I loved about the ending scene is it's almost like Stallone and Patrick Hughes and everybody else involved said, look, we need to have every possible action cliche in this ending. So we've got an army, we've got tanks, we've got a chopper chase, we've got motorcycles, we've got gunfire, everything is in that last 40 minutes. Yeah, am I wrong?
No, these grenades, guns, crazy jumping, crazy jumps from one side of the building through a corner down to another blown out wall behind with explosions all behind them. I mean, yeah, it was just they crammed it all in. And I agree with you, the climactic fight between Mel and Sly was kind of not so, I guess it was anticlimactic a little bit. It just felt like it probably should have went on a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I really, I kind of wanted to see a little bit more fighting from Mel, but that's nitpicking. That's nitpicking.
And it was insane. I mean, they even had the obligatory, we got to defuse the bomb and buy us more time. How much time we got?
Glad they stopped it at 3 seconds and not one.
Yeah. I guess in Stallone's mind, that's changing it up. This is original now. This has never been done. It's always one. Now we're on three seconds.
Expendables 3. We're stopping it on 3. Just to,
I didn't even think of that. You're genius.
Yeah, I know.
they did. Like, think how clever and witty this is. I love that end battle. And what was your favorite action set piece? Because there's really like three big set pieces. There's the beginning train chase. There's the middle, almost Mission Impossible thing. And then there's the end, just giant battle. Which one was your favorite out of the three?
The giant battle.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. It was just, like you said, I mean, there's helicopters, there's motorcycles, there's tanks, jeeps, guns, bombs, grenades, fist fighting, knife throwing, people, I don't know if Wesley Snipes was unconscious or playing dead. I'm not sure what he was doing. Although I was getting worried, I was like, did they kill him? Because he was off screen for a long time after it showed him laying on the ground.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I literally was going, well, maybe they killed him off. And
didn't think to mention it for sure.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, well, I guess they're just going to roll with that. There's so much other going on. I guess I can't spend a whole lot of time with people crying about him. So, and then he pops up. So.
They did a pretty good job of spreading it out. Even Jason Statham, he didn't get as many moments as I would have liked, but he did get a couple. Because I'd tell you what, in Expendables 2, his scene in the church is probably my favorite action scene in that movie, where I think it was Expendables. Yeah, it was Expendables 2.
Yes. Yep.
Where he's pretending to be a priest or whatever and ends up, just knifing everybody in that room. I love that set piece, and I would have loved to have seen more of that. But, how many action scenes can you really cram in this movie?
Exactly.
I do want to ask you, there was like a slowdown of the action in the middle. And yeah. Did that bother you while they're gathering up Kelsey Grammer to collect the new Expendables?
Yeah, I kind of noticed that where it was like fun and there was, you know, humor and all this stuff, and then it was kind of an odd series.
Mm-hmm.
For, I don't know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, something like that. And it really was like such a drastic tone change in the movie that it actually kind of pulled me out of it for a minute. Like, man, you know, he's all, I'm doing this for your own good. I want y'all to live and I'm fine with dying, but y'all need to stay alive. And you're not on my team anymore. I'm going to go hire some young people so I can feel better about killing them. You know,
It was odd.
It was odd. Yeah.
It was odd.
It just didn't quite fit. It's kind of like fitting that square peg in a rhombus shaped hole. It's almost fits, but it just didn't quite fit.
Did you like seeing Kelsey Grammer? I mean, cause I think everybody thought he was Kelsey Grammer in an action movie, and he's really just,
it's like a testosterone HR department.
Exactly. He's kind of like the guy that gathered up the Dirty Dozen or something. I mean, it really. Yeah,
but I loved it. I loved his role. And I loved the way that him and Sly played off each other. I thought it was good chemistry there.
Yeah, me too. It was fun. They were fun together.
I did, like I said earlier, I did have one real like major beef with this movie. The special effects, and I'm going to rightfully use this word, atrocious.
Which part are you talking about? Are you talking about the chopper chase or what?
All of them. The chopper chase was one of them.
You mean everything that wasn't practical effects?
Right.
Okay.
Right. There was a scene where a helicopter, it was, all right, you know the old movies when the car drives off the cliff, it falls 20 stories and you see it disappear just before the end and then all of a sudden you see a giant explosion?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that with a helicopter. There's a scene with Antonio Banderas and Sly. They're driving, and it looks like the scene from Airplane when Stryker is picked up by the attendant, and you got the horrible background in the back, and you got the guy flying over the bike, you know, that he run over, I kept waiting for the cowboys and Indians to start chasing them after, you know, like from that scene. It was bad. Very, very bad. This was like a throwback to like the 60s. It was so bad.
There was definitely some moment. That chopper chase, and you see, you know, Harrison Ford's all into it. You know, he's a real pilot, and he knows what he would have to do. And he's making all the motions. And then you see the chopper chase. I'm like, wait, what? Why does it look like I'm picturing two guys holding little toy coppers with fishing line going...
I just kept waiting to see like a tub with Godzilla walking through it.
Yeah.
You know, just one of those type of things. Like, that's not a real ocean.
I've seen better CGI on TV. It boggles my mind. I'm like, man, for everything else this movie gets right, that took like dead stop me in the movie. I'm like,
must have hired like the Sci-Fi Channel to do their, you know, their special effects. Cause there was some of the layering of smoke and debris and stuff was even bad.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just was like, that looks like a volcano plume of smoke coming out of a wall that blew out from the side.
They brought in the department in between Sharknado movies.
Exactly.
Maybe in this cloud of smoke, we could have a shark come out.
Step up our special effects for Sharknado 2. Why don't you practice on Expendables 3?
That's funny. Thankfully, it didn't really detract from my fun of the movie, but it was something where I was like, what? What?
It's bad. And I hate to dig on it, but it is just very, very bad.
It's so bad, but I can't stop laughing about it. Seriously, I keep thinking some guy, the CGI guy, is actually doing the sound effects while he's making the choppers fight. Right.
While he's cooking lunch for the, you know, for the crew.
The caterer is the CGI guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man.
Antonio Banderas, we didn't even talk about him. Did you like him?
Oh, loved him.
Did you?
I did. I thought he was like Puss in Boots on crack. I loved him. I mean, he was annoyingly lovable.
I liked how his character was kind of the opposite of every action guy he had played before. You know, I mean, like he, because in Assassin, if you ever saw the movie Assassins, which I think is actually a really good movie, it's Stallone and him are in that movie. And he's a real smooth-talking killer, right? And you've got Desperado, smooth-talking, mm-hmm. ladies' man, everything else. And this one, he won't shut the – like, he's not – he's just a motor mouth. He does the same thing where he talks too much, but none of it's cool. You know, it's all just annoying. And then when he hits on the girl, it's just really uncomfortable and awkward. It's, like, so against type. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, he was great, and it was you say opposite of every role that he's played, but it's really kind of opposite of the guys that he's with too, because Stallone, I mean, they say four or five words and that's about it at a time. You know, they're also stoic and kind of short, yeah. You know, short and to the point with everything, and he's
you know. I was listening to him, the one scene well, it's kind of almost a montage where Stallone is getting the plane ready and he's just nonstop talking. I couldn't stop laughing. I was almost in tears. I'm like, this is so – it almost approached cheese. I mean, it was pretty close to cheese, and he rode the line pretty well, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I've had the best time working with him. As everyone knows, he's a highly trained, very talented actor, and he long ago won the battle of whether or not he should be taken seriously, and I've had a very positive experience working with him on script and on the scenes themselves. He's a filmmaker.
Now, what about before we move on the rest of the new guys? Did you like you've got Harrison Ford? He's new to this series. What did you think about old Harrison?
He's basically taking Bruce Willis's role as the CIA liaison type character.
Do you like him more than Bruce Willis's as Church?
Lots more.
Because lots. Why?
Bruce Willis just had a certain, I don't know. There was something about him that I never really took him seriously. He's always kind of got that smirk or something. I don't know what it was, but I never really took him. I never believed him as the government CIA type. Harrison Ford looks like the guy. Maybe that's because he's played that, you know, those roles with the clear and present danger type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's what it is that's subconscious kind of making me feel that way. But yeah, and when he gets, you know, he got serious, you know, and basically telling him, you know, hey, you're going to do this, blah, 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 whatever. You know, when he first meets Stallone, mm-hmm. and it was like, all right, hey, this guy's a little bit intense. So I just felt like he was more of that political presence more than Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. And I hate to say it because I used to love Bruce. Like, he was my favorite actor for the longest time. And just the last decade, all he does is play Bruce Willis. And yep. I feel like he does not even bother acting anymore. I mean, you can go listen to the old Kevin Smith bits where he talks about what a dick he is. Whether that's true or not, or I don't know. But I do know that his presence has really changed in the last few years, and he really just plays himself now. Where Harrison Ford showed up, he needs to play himself or to act less than Bruce Willis does, because Harrison Ford is established as a good actor. He's not Bruce Willis. You know, he doesn't make fun of himself too often. He actually does good work more than bad work. And
I'm sure you picked up on the little dig towards Bruce Willis.
Which one are you talking about?
Stallone asking me, says something about, hey, I'm supposed to be meeting what happened to Church? And he said, he's not in the picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because for people that don't know, Bruce Willis allegedly demanded like $1 million a day, and they said, we can't do that because, you know, we've got so many people in this movie.
We got so many special effects we got to fork out all this money for.
Exactly. We only have $3 million for special effects, Bruce. That's our entire budget for your 3 days of work. We can't do it. Harrison Ford, he showed up. Looks like he's having a great time. It looks like he's trying to have fun with it, you know, and man, he was so much more fun. Everybody in the movie feels like they are there to have fun, you know, and that makes such a difference.
Yep.
Such a difference. So it was nice because, you know what, that was the only thing about Expendables 2 that I had a problem with, was when they had the climactic fight at the end, Bruce Willis, he just doesn't bring it as the action hero anymore.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, and Harrison Ford looked like he really would gun down people. Unfortunately, he had a CGI team of 4 10-year-olds holding choppers with fishing line, but, you know, that's not his fault. Was there any other new additions that we didn't talk about? I think we got Kelsey Grammer, Harrison Ford.
I mean, we did briefly mention Kellan Lutz, and I did. It was good. This is the first time that I've seen him in something where I've actually liked him. And I still haven't seen his version of Hercules. Not sure I want to anytime soon.
Nope. I don't plan on it.
So, but. I think this is kind of maybe a good way of giving him a little bit more than what he had in the Twilight movies,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not quite jumping out so far as making him the lead of a big movie. So maybe this is just probably what he should do for a little while. Kind of that upper background character.
And Victor Ortiz, he was just kind of there. I don't really think he brought anything extra.
I didn't think so either. I mean, even though he had more screen time than Jet Li probably brought more.
Poor Jet Li. He gets shortchanged, and, you know, I hate to say that because short, but he gets shortchanged every single one of these movies.
Yep.
Every single. I don't know if that's because he's not available or he's like, man, I'll do it because I said I would do it, but I don't want to do it or what. But he never gets much to do.
And what was the weird scene with Stallone hugging him, and like, they're like, I know it was like a joke, but that was just
weird.
Like a weak joke that went too far and not real sure to how serious to take it. I mean, are they hooking up? I mean, not one to judge. If they are, great. That's fine. But yeah,
I don't think so. I think it was just a weird joke. I think they were trying to be, let's make the joke. And it just didn't play. They don't always play, man.
Yeah, true.
That's the one thing. I like Stallone's basic storylines for his movies, but he is not good with the puns anymore. You know, it's just something he hasn't been strong. The one-liners and sort of those sort of things.
Right.
He just isn't as good with those as he used to be. The first two movies in the series made close to $600 million worldwide. And this one, you know, it's not doing so well here. You never know about overseas. It might make its money back there. But why do you think people love this series, and why do you think critics absolutely hate it?
I think people love this series for the same reasons that you and I do. I mean, it's, you just turn your brain off, have a good time, watch. I mean, for a lot of these actors, I'm not saying it's going to be the last time that you see them, but it's probably going to be the last time that, or one of the last times that you see them in such physical roles. And for me, I kind of almost look at it as kind of a sending off or kind of, I don't know, kind of finale type thing, even though, like I said, there may be more movies. But for the most part, I mean, all these guys they're getting way too old for this stuff. So it's nice to see these guys.
Why did Mel Gibson say that at some point? He should have said that. I'm getting too old for this shit. He should have said that at some point. That was the one missed opportunity.
Yep. So it just, that, to me, it's just one of those things. I like all these characters. I like all these actors. See them all together is just fun. And that's what this movie is all about. It's about fun. It's not any kind of social commentary on anything. And that's, I mean, as far as the critics go, I mean, you know, they want to compare movies to all these other Kurosawa and Mastroianni and all these other great actors and all these other great movies. And you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't, why does it have to be, why does these movies have to be so deep and fun and all this, or not fun, but what deep and have a bigger meaning and serious and all this other stuff. And why does it have to be that way? Just why can't these critics just watch these movies for what they are? It's ridiculous.
We've talked about that 100 times. I'll never understand it. I just don't get it. You say you love movies, but you apparently only love certain kinds. So, you know, because these kind of movies get trashed because, well, you know, it's dumb or the story's dumb. I'm like, you know what? Not everything has to be Citizen Kane or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It doesn't always have to be great writing. It sometimes it's the performances. Sometimes it's the actor. Sometimes it's the action. You know, they make different movies for different reasons, and this is one of them. This is just one that's fun. $600 million worldwide. All that money is mostly, in my opinion, because you've got different actors that different people love for different reasons, and they're in the same movie, and they're kicking ass, and you're finally seeing kind of like that Freddy versus Jason thing where you always wanted to see those two paired up. Mm-hmm. You finally have people that you love in the same movie together, doing what you love seeing them do, and they're doing it awesome, you know, for the most part. Are they a little older? Would it have been cooler to see this, you know, probably 20 years ago? Yeah, but it still works now, even if it is almost a joke. I mean, you know, Stallone, how he's still, you know, he's had tons of plastic surgery, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, he's almost 70, and he still looks pretty kick-ass, but you can't hide. He obviously works out. I don't care what kind of additional
enhancers
medicine he's taking. He still looks pretty, you know, like he could beat my silly ass in a heartbeat. So I love seeing all these guys, and I think a lot of other people do too. I feel kind of bad because finally they get this movie and they get it, like they nail the franchise, and that's probably going to be the smallest grossing one. That's kind of a bummer to me.
Yeah, I mean, they're really counting on the overseas projections and stuff, because I mean these movies do just fantastic overseas,
right?
And that's really what's going to probably make the decision whether or not they do a fourth one.
There's a kind of a an everydayness to it. The fact that apart from the fact that they seem to destroy everything in their path, there's an ordinariness to it, an everyman quality to it, you know, and a sort of tongue-in-cheekness. Or, you know, they're not taking themselves too seriously with the whole thing. So I think therein lies the appeal.
It has been announced, at least IMDb is showing that it is. It has been announced that they are doing a Expendables 4. And Sly is even, he's even talked about it. Apparently, during an interview, a Reddit interview recently with The Rock, somebody asked him about it. And he said, yeah, he would love to do it, but he wants to be the main villain. And Sly even told him, hey, man, bring it on. And he stated in a later interview that he would love, and he said, after I thought about it, I would just, the more I think about it, the more I would love to see him as a villain. You think this could maybe resurrect or save the franchise?
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, like we said, this one's opening was a bit weak.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, you know, we're recording this right when the weekend has come into a close, and I think it's projected for about 16, 17 million estimated for the weekend. Don't know what overseas is yet. So obviously, by the time you listen to this, you already know what the outcome is. It really depends on the box office. But if they were to do another one, I would love to see The Rock do it. And I would love to see him as a villain, because I don't think he's as strong as in a leading role. And also because you don't see him really do that very often. You know, he did it in Doom. And I actually, even though Doom is not a good movie, he was good as the villain, I thought. Would you like to see him play a bad guy?
Yeah, it's a good change of pace. I think his star credibility is, I mean, he's basically the biggest action hero on the planet right now. And if anybody could, I hate using the word save this franchise, but I mean, let's face it, it could use some help from The Rock.
Box office wise, yeah.
Box office wise, absolutely. And to make him as a villain, I think that'd be incredible. Just don't kill him off in the one movie.
Oh, you want an opportunity to bring him back?
Yeah.
Well, he does like 14 other franchises. I'm sure he'd probably want to live for this one too.
Sure.
I was actually kind of bummed. I'm like, you do every other franchise. Why are you too good for Expendables 2 and 3, man?
If there's any franchise that's right up his alley, it's this one.
Yeah. Feel kind of ripped off, actually, now that I think about it. Jackie Chan also said he'd do it if the script is good enough. He doesn't want like a 5-minute cameo like Chuck Norris did. Would you want to see Jackie Chan?
I could, yeah. I mean, I could see that. I think he's another one that's up a lot older than I think people realize. And I think he'd be a good asset to it. I just don't know in what capacity. It just sounds like to me though with him that he's almost pulling a Bruce Willis type move, but maybe not so much about the money, just the screen time.
Yeah.
And you've got to really, I think all of these actors really have to check their ego to a certain extent when sharing sharing an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours with all these other stars. If he does it for the fun of it, then I think it'll be fine. All right. Well, who would you like to see?
Like in the fourth one, who would I want to see?
Sure.
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, some people have talked about like Seagal, and I have no interest in that whatsoever. I just don't think that's a guy I want to see on film ever again, really.
What about Kurt Russell?
All right, Kurt Russell. Yeah, Kurt Russell, definitely. He would make an Expendables movie where he's just the team. I would go see that. So you don't need all the rest of them. You can actually give them a vacation. They just show up at the end, save him.
Just have Harrison Ford, like have the Russell Project or something like that.
Exactly.
And he cloned about 12 of them, and just they're all the Kurt Russell Expendables.
That's how you get me, Brian, right there.
All right.
What about you? Who would you want?
I would like to see a slimmed down Seagal.
Really?
Yeah.
Could he slim down at this point?
I don't know if he can. He's getting larger every day.
He's like Marlon Brando at this point.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
And he still tells people like what they got to do to win in a fight. I'm like, you got to put the pork chop down.
Yeah, exactly.
Take your own advice, Chubbs.
The third barbecue sandwich is probably not a good idea there. You know, those Southeast Asian garbs, you know, you've got to start sewing them out of curtains at this point.
I always love watching him like do interviews where he talks about how he's a volunteer cop or whatever. I'm like, who are you stopping? You would have to hit them with the car because you can't chase them down. You know, he's not like the rest of these guys. The rest of these guys are still in pretty good shape. I mean, Harrison Ford is 70-some years old, and he could still probably kick Seagal's ass. Schwarzenegger, I mean, the guy's almost 70, and look how ripped he is again. And the rest of them are all, I don't know. He just seems like the one guy that would have to work really, really hard to fit.
Yeah, I agree. He, not saying he doesn't have a lot of work to do to get into that role.
Mm-hmm.
But in a perfect world, and somebody asked me, and I get to pick. Sure, I'd like to see Seagal because I think he could. You know, he's really one of the few that are left from the classic 80s, 90s action stuff. So
yeah.
That's not been in it yet. So I would like to see it.
I would kind of like Hugh Jackman if he would count, because I know he's like a 2000s hero, but he is up. He's closer to their age. I mean, he's like 45, 46 years old.
Yeah.
So he's the same age as Jason Statham. I'd love to see him. He'd never do it, but I'd love to see him in it.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to, really.
Nah.
No, no. He's good. One of his movies makes more than all of these guys combined, most likely.
Oh, man. Well, how ironic is it that there's been so much talk about it being a PG-13 movie to reach a broader audience, and now it's flopped, domestically speaking, of course. Should they, if they do the fourth one, should they make it R-rated again?
Do you think the R rating affected the box office? Or the PG-13 rating? The fact that it's not R-rated?
I honestly don't know if any of the action scenes would have been better with more gore, so to speak. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
I think they pushed the envelope pretty hard, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
I really thought there were moments where I'm like, they got this through? I don't know how they got that through. So, you know, when Stallone's talking about it's a really hard PG-13, I agree with him. I think it's probably one of the strongest PG-13 rated films I've seen since probably Dark Knight, you know, years ago. I don't know. I'm sure that it has put off a lot of people, but I think the box office is more affected by the illegally downloaded copies than anything.
Sure.
I actually know several people that normally do not do that had watched Expendables 3 before it came out. So you know that there's only one way that happened unless they're a critic or, you know, they review movies like we do and then go to screenings. Yeah. Yeah. You know how that happened. You got that figured out. And unfortunately, that does take away from the movie. And especially 5 million copies, that's a lot. That's a lot.
The idea of PG-13, we wanted to hit a broader audience. And because of our predecessors, looking at the Bournes and James Bond, we thought, I mean, they're pretty violent films. They're extremely graphic without pushing it. Of course, when we do the DVD, then you'll see the next 80 frames, and then you say, oh, there it is. But we thought we would convey it, and I thought also the amount of violence or the amount of warfare in this movie, if it was graphic, it'd be, after a while, like nauseating. It's just almost too much. Even though I personally enjoy it, I just think that it would be pushing the envelope. Also, it would diminish the humor. For example, Hail Caesar was going to die, literally. He kept saying, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. I said, well, you're doing a TV show, you have to die. I'm sorry. That if you really want to do that show, I can't, traitor. And literally he comes over and he's almost had tears in his eyes. He goes, I don't want to die. And I'm sitting there with Avi, and it's almost like an execution. We're sitting there, oh, should we execute him? No. And, am I right? Am I lying? And we're sitting around, and it's an hour away. He is going to die. And that was the whole premise. Mel Gibson kills him, and so, oh, my God, it's now on. You killed Hail Caesar. But anyway, we just decided to keep him around, but also he's mortally injured because of the idea. It just sets a tone that is almost not the word irredeemable, but it's just, even at the end, it's a pallor because you've lost a beloved person. And that's the difference between, say, R and PG-13. So it's great for anyone doing PG-13s. You only get mortally wounded. You don't get fatally wounded.
Again, I don't feel like it, maybe an R rating would have made it better. I don't know really what, unless you show somebody's head actually exploding, you know, I don't think it really missed out on being an R rating, but
no,
but it is just kind of funny that the one movie that was such a big deal about is a flop.
I think it probably did affect it some, because some people, especially the people you were going for, the nostalgia factor, to them they saw it as, well, you've just softened what I wanted. You know?
Right. And it's watered down.
Yeah, it's watered down. And I get it. I absolutely understand that. I just don't think it actually happened. I actually think it made them be smarter with the action and made a few better choices than just outright gore. You know, sometimes I think people get lazy when you can do outright gore. And language was really never, it was never really an issue in the previous movies. So, you know, they didn't really never drop the F-bomb. The only thing I miss is that giant big-ass gun that Terry Crews had in that first movie, that shotgun where he's just blowing people, you know, one shot and they explode. That I wanted to come back at some point. Outside of that, I didn't notice at all.
Well, I thought I saw one of the guys have it. I want to say it was Dolph Lundgren. It was kind of that stubby nose grenade launching gun type thing, but
yeah, but it wasn't used to the same effect.
No,
and not nearly joyful as Terry Crews did it,
because he looked like he was just having a ball with
he was just giddy as shit, running through the caverns, blowing people up. Left and right. Sorry. Correct that. Don't want any other bad Stallone jokes. So we had a lot of fun with this. This series, I love this series. But what they are now talking about doing the Expendables. which is the female version of the Expendables with an all-female action cast. There's been rumors about Sigourney Weaver, I think. Stallone wants to bring her aboard as like his wife or something. Is this idea extremely awesome or horribly sexist to you? Because
can it be both? This is one of those ideas that I would normally just cringe at and shake my head and go, no, this is not a good idea. I, much like the Better Call Saul, I think Breaking Bad should just stop where it's at. Mm-hmm. And Better Call Saul is going to be a weak attempt to squeeze out more viewers. I could be horribly wrong, but in this aspect, I like this idea. And we've already got kind of a lead in with Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. She can kind of be that little thread that kind of helps.
Like the transition that brings it.
Kind of ties it in with the others. And like I say, bringing a Sigourney Weaver, maybe Angelina Jolie, Mila Jovovich. I mean, we would never get
Angelina Jolie for this movie.
Never. I know. But hey, we're dreaming here.
All right. Spitball. I got it.
You know? Is it a bit sexist? Honestly, no more than the first one, than the Expendables.
Mm, I mean, I get what you're saying. Okay.
So.
I think the title is horribly sexist.
Fair enough.
Expendables, really? Can we just call it the Expendables and then like some kind of title at the bottom or something? You know, like Revenge of the Sith? I don't know. But the Expendables is horribly sexist. Horribly sexist. Stallone, stop saying that name, man. It's horribly sexist. There's nothing that's not chauvinistic about that name. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I would love to see this movie made. I think it would be great to see a movie where women are not treated like women and they're just, you know, action heroes. And I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens, the first Alien, or second Aliens. Or mm-hmm. I guess it's just the second Alien movie. That's how I want that. I want a cast full of that kind of movie. That would be fantastic. But just don't call it Expendables. Horrible idea. I think that would flop. It would be seen as campy before it ever got made.
It almost sounds like a Disney cartoon.
A sexist Disney cartoon. Horribly sexist Disney cartoon. You could tell that that title came from a bunch of 65-year-old men that sit around trying to think that they can relate to the common woman. It's like, guys, it ain't 1954. Stop thinking that you understand hip culture, pop culture. You just, man, wow. I've heard that name I don't know how many times, and it irritates me every time I hear it. Every time I hear it.
Expendables.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. God. I don't want to live in a world where my daughter has to suffer through that. Come on. Do better. Do better. It's kind of like, you know what it is? Hey, we want a movie where we respect women just as much as we do the men. That women can be just as big of action heroes. But we're not going to give them the title because that's crazy talk.
That's dumb.
That's dumb. Women can't actually do it. You know what I'm saying, Bob? So let's just call it Expendables. And they'll all be in 90s and they'll have bustiers.
And they're not smart enough to get mad about it. It's science.
It's so sexist. All right. Well, this series for now has come to a completion. It's the trifecta is complete. So what do you think in terms of how would you order the movies and like what are your favorites and who are your favorites in the series?
Wow. I've got to go really in reverse order. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
I thought this was like we mentioned earlier, this is the one that really brought the best parts of one and the best parts of two, crammed it into one movie, and it really paid off as far as I'm concerned. Now as far as my favorites, Jason Statham as Lee Christmas. I like him. I always like Statham. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, most of his movies are pretty much the same, but I like, he's one of those, like The Rock, he's better as a supporting actor.
And this these movies, he smiles. These are the only movies he smiles.
Yeah. And again, he's to kind of use your word. He looks like he's having fun.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Half of the scenes with him and Stallone, I'm convinced, are pretty much just ad lib. Like they may have a couple of basic lines, but do it a few different ways, you know, and it's just kind of ad libbed and stuff. Mm-hmm. He just looks like he's having fun. Dolph Lundgren, as I said earlier, I like him. And Wesley Snipes, love Wesley Snipes in this. I was very surprised at how much I actually liked him in this movie.
Those are your top three guys on the franchise. It's kind of hard. You can't really pick Stallone because it almost feels like he's the anchor the story's being told through. You know what I mean? I almost feel like he really, even though he keeps giving himself the big moments. So obviously his ego is the biggest of all of them, you know, because he always gets the climactic fight at the end, like every movie.
Yep.
Come on, dude, share the cred. Schwarzenegger is probably my least favorite, honestly. I just, you know, even though he's got his presence and he can be fun with Stallone, he's just not one that I'm dying to see again, I guess, because he's been in so many movies, you know. In terms of the movies, I actually agree with you. I think 3-2-1 is a good way to do it. One is more nostalgia than I think it is a great movie.
Right.
I really like two. In fact, I might have given two technically a higher score just because I thought when that one came out, it did so much more right that I thought the first one didn't.
Right.
So it felt like
it was the leap in quality was
greater.
Yeah. It was greater. Right.
Yeah. It was a lot greater, a lot more. My top three, I guess, would be Jean-Claude Van Damme. I thought he was great in the second movie. He made a real presence. It's probably the best acting he's done in years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his one scene where he killed, Liam Hemsworth, that was a good day because I'm a big Liam Hemsworth fan. And, number two, I probably would have to go with, I'd probably go with Lee Christmas too. These are the movies where I think you really get a feel for Jason Statham as a person. You know, I've seen him in interviews where he has a good sense of humor. He's fun. You know, he's a good guy. He seems like a guy you would want to go have a beer with.
Right.
And, I really never get that with his other movies. I think he's just too stoic in those. So I really like him in these movies. And, number one's Terry Crews, man. I fucking love Terry Crews. I don't know why. Every single one of these movies, even though he's the guy I feel is constantly shortchanged. Like, they just never give him enough screen time. Every time he's on, I smile from ear to ear because he seems like the guy that is having, like, he showed up and he's like, let's fucking do it. You know, he's just the guy having the most fun out of everybody. Even when he's in a coma in this movie, I think he's having more fun than everybody else. I just love him. Yeah, why he doesn't have his own franchise, I don't understand. I just love that dude. I just love him.
Yeah, he cracks. He's one of those guys. He cracks me up. It's almost like they're like, look, we just need you to shoot, maybe say us something, and just we're gonna start rolling. You just start shooting this gun and just make it up as you go.
He does. I'm telling you, his scenes where he's firing a gun are like what every one of us thought when we were a kid and we were out playing cops and robbers or whatever, or having gunfights in our yard. He's the guy having that kind of fun. Like, he's just running around with a giant smile going, yeah, just blowing shit out of people. What? I just love it. Absolutely love it. And this one had a lot of good characters. We already talked about them, but they had a lot of really fun characters in this one, too.
Yeah.
Who did you like least? I mean, who was the one where you're like, I wish they wouldn't have been in the series at all? Anybody?
Ooh, probably Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He just felt like he was, and it's really not so much like he was a bad actor or anything like that. He just felt like he was forced into this. Not against his own will, but like maybe he was like too pretty compared to the other guys.
He was kidnapped and thrown in the Expendables movie.
you've got these veteran Expendables, so to speak. You know, you've got these Dolph Lundgren and all these guys, they're all like unshaven. They're super wrinkly. And then you got this pretty faced fresh-faced guy that's just doesn't really fit with the others. Yeah. He just, his personality seemed completely different. And I know that's kind of what they were going for. Like, this guy is, he's kind of an innocent in a bad job or world, so to speak, mm-hmm. but he's got some really good skills, you know? So he just didn't fit. And there's something about his, I don't know, young face or something that just didn't fit with the other guys. And it just didn't work for me too much. That and this Glenn Powell guy in this one, I didn't, for the most part, except for, I think they could have given one of the other characters a little bit of tech knowledge mm-hmm. and just written this guy out of this movie.
I would rather they brought Kelsey Grammer along. I think he would have been more fun in the, yeah. on the heist.
Yeah. And just like bitching the whole time about, you know, I'm too old for this shit, you know, whatever, you know, just good Lord. What'd you get me into?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still, after all the years it's been since I've seen it, I still wonder if Chuck Norris really wanted to be there at all. Cause it just feels like when he was in the movie, even though he was kind of fun to have him there, I still kind of wonder if he really didn't want to be there at all. He just has that look like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
I'm doing this because I should, not because I want to.
Basically the acting equivalent of that kid who's got the fake smile because he doesn't want to be in the picture.
Exactly.
Okay, take the picture. I'm smiling.
Oh. Well, I think I'm with you, Liam Hemsworth, and same reasons. He just didn't fit. Like when they yeah. killed him and everybody was supposed to feel horrible, and I was like, finally. Yeah.
I'm like, whew, thank yeah. God.
Yeah, he's gone.
And you know, he almost like felt like he was just the name, like, okay, well, you know, lots of young people love the Hemsworths, rightfully so. Not saying they shouldn't, mm-hmm. but
handsome fellows.
Absolutely. And I just felt like he was like the kind of the wrong guy to squeeze into this.
Exactly. So any final thoughts on the series as a whole? We might never get to talk about it again outside of a normal review on the podcast. Anything you want to say in remembrance of the Expendables before it becomes all sexist?
As far as these three movies go, I love the whole canon. I like each and every one. And I like each and every one for different reasons, which kind of amplifies my love for this series. And I've always, from the jump when we started this mess, I've always said I'm like the shallow one. Mm-hmm. I love these types of movies. Turn my brain off, just watch the pretty explosions and ooh and ah at the action and the good times and all that kind of stuff. This is the kind of movie that I go, this is one of the reasons why I go to see movies in the theater, is this kind of spectacle. Yeah, it's also a movie that translates well to television. Mm-hmm. And the rewatchability factor on these movies is still pretty high. And I'm sure I'll buy some packaged, you know, special edition of all these movies, which hopefully will have just hours and hours of interviews. Cause I would love and actor commentary. I don't care about the art director's commentary on the second one.
What about the CGI explaining? Explaining
that one, I want answers. I want answers. One I will watch because I want to know who was shooting heroin while they were working. Because somebody was obviously passed out while adding in special effects.
Oh, that's funny.
And on some sort of hallucination type stuff, because that shit was not good. I want answers. Somebody get Sly on the phone right now. Who signed off on this? Who looked at it on that screen? I know there was 40 different screens in a small little room, and somebody had to say, that looks good, go with it.
You want to find that guy and beat the shit out of him.
I want to find that guy, or either I want to find the guy that says, stop this now, we're out of money. Because one of those two, you know, that might have happened also. Stop what you're doing, go home. But it's 2:00 in the afternoon. I don't care. We're out of money. Go with what you got.
Just throw it up there. It's fine. We just spent a fortune on body spray.
Right.
We cannot.
And fake tattoos.
Exactly. Fake tattoos. Oh, that's funny. Same thing, Brian. It's a franchise that You know, and so much more than like the Transformers. You know, we talk about Transformers as dumb fun, but I have a hard time rewatching those. You know,
I do too.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. You watch it once. All right, I got what I wanted, and I'm done. These movies, and I hate that I said "um" like three times. So that's like rookie
you
mistake.
You get used to it over the time. Over time, trust me.
Yeah. You listen to these or you watch these movies, and I can rewatch all of them over and over and over, and I still enjoy them for different reasons. Like Brian said, all three of these feel like different kinds of movies. Like they evolved, they got better, mm-hmm. as opposed to where most franchises get worse. So, and also, if you can find the first Expendables, the actual unrated director's cut is really good. It's much better than the original release. I highly recommend, if you've never seen that, you should check that one out. The series as a whole, I love it. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's cheesy. It's not trying to be anything more than it is. And bottom line is, it's fun. And this one, apparently not many of you have seen it, but this one.
All 12 of you listening.
Yeah, right, all 12 of you listening. Everybody that downloaded this podcast, what? I didn't see that movie. Well, no, you're not alone. You should see it in a theater. This is the kind of movie that I love going to a theater to see with a crowd, because it's just fun. It's just turn your brain off, have a good time, laugh with these guys, see your old heroes. For some of you, see your new heroes, and just have a ball, because it really feels like all of them are having fun this time.
Yep.
I don't know what more we can say about it. I think we've talked enough. Thanks for any parting thoughts, Brian, before we do the wrap-up?
I think that's about it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for listening, guys, to this special edition of The Hollywood Outsider, our Expendable spoiler cast. Please tell your friends, review us on iTunes, listen on your Stitcher Radio app, give us a thumbs up if you listen there, or you can subscribe on your RSS feed. You can also find us at thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're on facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We have a great Facebook group that a lot of people are having a lot of fun with, talking about movies and TV shows. Anything you want to talk about, be sure to go there. There's a link in the show notes. Tweet us at @H_Outsider, and our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Brian, I got to say, thanks for joining me. I appreciate having a real man to share this experience with.
It's nice to share this without the estrogen.
Exactly.
Oozing off of our other co-hosts.
I mean, really, so, how much sensitivity can we listen to?
I know. So it's good to have a man-to-man talk about a man movie.
Exactly. With real men.
With real men, exactly. That wasn't sexist at all.
No. I can't wait to watch The Expendables. That's going to be a classic. Remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, which try to see Expendables 3. Come on, seriously, believe us. It's good. Buy popcorn. I want to tell you, I didn't do a Stallone impression this entire podcast.
I'm very proud of you.